السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also sisters listening in at the madrasa, last week I discussed a few important issues with regards to seher or jadu, and especially those amils who put the patient into a trance, and then whatever the patient says or speaks in the trance state, then they attribute that to being some kind of revelation. They say that is something that is the truth that has been spoken. But what generally happens is that the jinns, they speak a lot of lies, and in that trance state the voice changes of the person. It's the jinns that take over, and then they speak a lot of lies, and they create a lot of division in the families. And the first people whose names are mentioned are those who are living in that very home, and it creates great amount of division, disunity, friction. So we have to be very much on our guard. Do not accept such kind of information as evidence. It is not Sharia evidence. And also the other point was, when some people lose their goods, money, car, or something gets stolen, then they make istikhara, and then they have a very strong suspicion and doubt on a certain person because they saw that person in the dream. Whereas dream is not any kind of evidence when it comes to Sharia. In Sharia, that is not evidence. So that is something that we discussed at length, and we were unable to proceed with the subject that we were discussing. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. کیسا یہ انقلاب ہے دیکھ کے دل کباب ہے کہتے ہیں اب ثواب ہے سود میں اور قمار میں. They say that now there's great amount of ثواب in سود and in قمار, in interest giving, taking, in gambling, and in many other things. Just the name of Islam has to be used, and it becomes an act of ibadat and sawab. Even though everything un-Islamic takes place in the name of Islam. Therefore we have to be very careful. Don't lose our iman by making iman and Islam and the Quran Sharif so cheap that wherever you take the name of Islam, then that function, that action becomes Islamic. Since this is a majlis where we are always talking about Islah, and I am not concerned about those people who are not interested in Islah. Because if a person is not interested in his Islah, then the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala couldn't make his Islah too. If a person himself is not interested, he says, irrespective of how many Quranic verses you recite, how many hadiths you quote, but I am not interested in my Islah. So if that person says that I'm not going to accept Islam, Iman, Islah, then that person, no matter how great the Nabi, but he cannot change him too. Like one person claimed, he said that nobody can ever convince me. Whatever I believe, nobody can ever convince me against the belief that I hold. My opinion is the best of all opinions, and nobody else can convince me. So they asked him that how can that be true, because if the other person has got better proof, then he should be able to convince you. You want to do something, you have got a certain opinion, but another person has got a lot of proof to convince you that it is not right what you are considering. So he says, no, but if I have made up my mind that I'm not going to accept his opinion, then how is he going to convince me? I must be prepared to accept. Then only he will be able to convince me. So this is our condition, that if the person who is not interested in his Islah, then nothing will help. However, there are some patients who are sick and they realize we are sick and they are concerned about their sickness and illness, but it's just that there is a bit of weakness when it comes to treatment, medication, etc. So those people, there is some hope that inshallah someday their Islah will be made. Now this letter that I am going to read to you, I have the permission of the person because I asked specifically for permission, but no names are going to be mentioned. But it is something that we should listen to because it is connected with what I am talking about. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. The hearts are becoming kebabs. They are becoming roasted. They are becoming grilled. The fire of sins is burning. It is demolishing everything, raising everything to the ground. We know that Shariat considers nikah as a very important ibadat. Many bayans you have heard on nikahs, and we know that nikah is an ibadat in Islam. It is not a function. It is not a drama. It is not a circus. It is not a concert. It is not a show. It is an ibadat. This young girl is in hijab. She wears the cloak. She is Islamic conscious. And she has the fear of Allah Ta'ala at heart. But then, the pressure that was put on her to go and participate in a certain marriage that took place, a certain wedding that took place in a certain hall. So she too got excited and then finally went there, but with her hijab on. Now this is exactly what I mentioned a few weeks ago, that there are many people who will go to such functions and afterwards they will say, Maulana, this was happening there, that was happening there, that was happening there. So what were you doing there? I asked the question. So generally that is what happens. Now here, if the person was in hijab and she was projecting an image of piety and taqwa, then there was no need for her to be there. But sometimes certain young people, young girls, it is beyond their control. There's so much of peer pressure, there's so much of force, and there is so much of encouragement or reprimanding that they have to go to such functions. So what do? So there are exceptions to the rule. I'm not talking about those who willingly go and thereafter keep on complaining. So she states that as much as we wait for weddings in the family to come, the problems brought into it far supersedes the true joy that should have been experienced at weddings, marriages. He says it supersedes that. So when my first cousin got engaged, the decision to make it a wedding to remember brought on the same financial, social and other burdens which weddings which are held to keep up a standard brings. For no reason whatsoever, and then she mentions the name, but because the person could be recognized, therefore I'm not mentioning that. In any case, the gist of that was that they were also invited to this wedding, and although against their wish to participate, but there was great pressure that was put, and they too suddenly got excited, and a lot of costs was incurred, plenty of expenditure, and the wedding day came close. But having a little dini knowledge, Allah Ta'ala had given me the hidayah to understand that if you attend a wedding of this nature, then you are also, despite everything, part and parcel of it. And you are no exception to the sin. After a while, I realized that it was right that I adamantly refused to attend. She says again, she realized that it was not the right thing to do. But in any case, finally she was convinced or she was pressurized and told by her mother to attend. So she also accompanied her parents to this wedding. We were not so green as to not know what to expect at such a wedding. But justification by my family's decision to attend came easily. When the day that brought about so much strain finally arrived, everyone got ready enthusiastically enough. So when a short while before we could leave, we found out that it wasn't possible for me to stay with my cousin, I felt only slight guilt knowing that I had to go as well, considering my parents would never leave me home alone. We attended the wedding. Not only did the music, cameras, intermingling of men and women, or the scantily dressed women give it an environment of sin and immorality, but the organizers went out of their way to make sure the whole procession ran in a style that would make even a Christian wedding look like nothing. Even away from the crowd and with my parda on the entire time, I kept the thought that I was just as answerable to Allah as the bride and the groom for the intensive sinning that was taking place at bay. The walima was no better. The couple were married, the wedding was over, but what was most sad is that how the speeches that were given in this gathering, in this particular hall, the name of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were taken in the middle of all the sin without any fear. And the Quran Sharif was recited and quoted extensively in the speeches. Even though the Quran Sharif was given such respect that even before the Hafiz who recited a verse of the Quran Sharif could fully walk away from the stage, it was replaced with music without any hesitation. Eventually the wrong we justify is forgotten. So after a week or so, I too had forgotten the whole wedding. However, then I had a dream which goes like this. I was in a function attended by the type of people at the wedding and walima, which I had just attended recently. The crowd was huge and the atmosphere and dress was that of the wedding. It was day and the function was taking place this time outside. In the front, surrounded by the people, was the reason for the gathering taking place. From the sky, a body was falling. I was aware and understanding what was going on, so I started moving towards the back of the crowd. When the body, which was falling horizontally, was near the ground and the people were ready to receive it, the gathering went hysterical, for it hit the ground. The gathering went hysterical with fright. They began screaming and were in a state of shock. They were shocked that the people who invited them had planned something so sick for them. They were in a state of panic, fear. When I was almost at the end of the huge crowd, the body hit the ground. The blood and the pus from that body had hit every person in the huge crowd. And I too felt some of it fly on my face. Although I was calm, but the crowd was hysterical with fright and panic. Kindly interpret this dream. Now, what other interpretation is there? That means that in the sight of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, at that moment in the hall when the Quran Sharif was being recited, his name was taken, Islam's name was taken, and that nikah is a sunnah of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was being mentioned. And then, immediately after all that, whatever happened, what she mentioned. So in the sight of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, this was already a dead body. There was no life, there was no soul, there was no spirit, there was no ruh in this nikah. And then those people who were participating, it was the wrath of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that was descending upon them. And each and every one in that crowd, whether she was in parda or she was not in parda, whether she was a deendar girl or not a deendar girl, whether the person was a pious person or he was not a pious person, but each and every person that was there was hit with this filth and with the wrath of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Each and every one was stung, although they may not have realized it. It was as filthy in the sight of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala as is the filth in a person's body which has blown up, filled up with pus and mat and blood, and it has now become a carcass, and there is an eruption in that body. And when that filth flies all around, how filthy and dirty it is, and what a stink and stench it gives. If there was a person of heart there in that majlis, if there was a person who had a heart, dogs have heart, cats have heart, monkeys have hearts, but nobody has called them Ahle Dil. Nobody has called them people of heart. The Arifin don't call them people of heart. Although the Kuffar have hearts and Mushrikeen have hearts. The only people who are considered to be people of heart are those who have Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in their hearts. If Allah Ta'ala is not in the heart, then that heart is not worth calling a heart. So if there was a person with a heart in that majlis, he would have sensed the darkness. He would have sensed the filth and the stench. And that person would have left the place immediately. So what I am trying to get across to you is that an operation is required. Without an operation, sometimes the sickness does not come right. No matter how difficult it may be, the surgeon's knife is not an easy thing to accept to be placed on one's body. But a person goes willingly and he says, place your knife on my chest and slice it and cut it and chip it and chop and do whatever you want, as long as you take out those cancerous tissues. As long as you cut out the tumor that is in the brain. Because if that is going to remain there, then it's going to lead to destruction. So the person is willing to accept that knife on his body and even pays a fee for that, and when he recovers, he even thanks the doctor for that. So an operation is required. How long are we going to go on pleasing people and displeasing our Allah? And what do we get in the process? As this girl I mentioned to her, or I replied to her, that because you had this awareness that what you were doing is wrong, and you are not happy to be there. But that is no excuse. There is no excuse. Because you will not be able to tell the whole world that I was there, but I was not happy, I was regretting why I am there, and I considered it as sinful. Those who saw you there with your parda and with your niqab and with your cloak and hijab, and the others who were seen there with the kurtas and with the beards and with the topis and with the tasbis, then who are you going to explain to that I had to go there because my uncle would have become displeased, my father would have become displeased, my brother would have become displeased, my sister would have become displeased. Everybody becomes displeased, we are concerned and worried. But if our Allah, who has given us our health, our strength, our wealth, He who has given us our intelligence, and He who has blessed us with whatever we have, that very wealth which has been given by Him, we are prepared to displease Him and thereafter complain. Marriages are not working. Family feuds, quarrels, fights, arguments, sister-in-laws fighting, mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws fighting, brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws fighting, the whole world fighting. How will rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ever come when we are going to start off the marriage with one of its kind, weddings and marriages? We are seeing it with our eyes, but to please the people, and what do we get after spending all that money? We say we want name. What else are we seeking? Nothing but name. That so and so invited so many people, and what a wedding it was. There was music and there was singing and dancing, and even striptease girls are now being invited in weddings. In the name of the sunnah of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you are going to do haram, then do we expect rahmat in that marriage? Do we expect rahmat in that home? What are we going to expect? So there is no other way out. Let them criticize, let them condemn, let them curse, let them say what they like. But at least a few people must now take up the courage to say that if you are not prepared to accommodate Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hukam, if you are not prepared to conduct this marriage in the way that Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam and Allah are pleased with, then you can exclude me from your list. They say if we will become displeased, say, لَا تَعَاتَ لِمَخْلُوقِ فِي مَاسِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. There is no obedience to the creation of Allah Ta'ala when it is disobedience to Allah Ta'ala Himself. Remember, the heart is the capital of our body. The heart is the capital. My Shaykh explains beautifully. He says that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made our body like a country. Like a country that has different states different provinces, so our heart is the capital of that country, of that city. The whole country has provinces, so the provinces of our body, our hands, our eyes, our ears, our feet, all these are the provinces of our body. And the heart is the capital. It's a central government. It's a place for the central government. He says, now if the central government is weak, the capital is weak, then all these provinces are going to be weak. If the central government is weak, then these provinces is going to be weak. There's going to be rebellion. So at present, because of the condition of our hearts, which are spiritually sick and dead, and just like that carcass filled with blood and pus, that is the condition of our spiritual heart. Therefore, we are finding the weakness in our hands, that if there is anything that the hand can take, which is illegal, haram, but if we're going to get some benefit, worldly benefit, then the hand will grab it. If there's anything haram that the eyes wants to see, but if the capital is weak, the heart is weak, then the eyes will say, see, what does it matter? If there is a place that it is haram to walk towards, but because the central government is weak, so the feet will take the person to that place. So he says that the control of the heart is so important. So when there's a rebellion in this province, then what do? They send a military. They send the military to curb the disturbance and to suppress the violence. So that is what we have to do. The heart has to send off what we term as quwwat-e-iradi. Allah Ta'ala has given each and every one of us a willpower, strength, courage, himmat. And we have to make use of that himmat. Why is it only when it comes to deen, then we got no himmat? But for everything else, we got so much himmat that if somebody says that if you get up 3 o'clock in the morning and you go to a certain place and conduct your business, then you will make hundreds of thousands of rand of business. Then that person got himmat to get up even in the winter morning, he's there. So the himmat is there. It's just that because we have got no concern for the akhirat. And Allah Ta'ala has given us food to eat, He's giving us clothes to wear, He's giving us shelter. He has saved us from the tests and the trials that our brothers are going through who are refugees in camps, without clothes, without food, without shelter. So many thousands or hundreds of thousands of them or millions of them throughout the world there are, who are going without food, water, drink, whatever little is thrown at them from above by helicopters, they accept it. And they look at the queues of people who had once plush houses and mansions and who had degrees and qualifications, but because of wars or because of floods or because of other disasters, they have now lost everything. So Allah Ta'ala has saved us and protected us from that. So therefore we are abusing this God-given gift. We are abusing it. We are not concerned. As I mentioned in the Friday talk, that if a person is deprived of food for 15-20 days, and thereafter, when he's gone frail and weak, and he's about to expire or depart from this world, at that time you ask that person, that must I bring that illicit love of yours now, or do you want food? Or you are so addicted to those programs and all that evil, then would you like some enjoyment, some entertainment, some music, some fun, some pleasure? Or would you like some food? Then he will say, Maro latus, mashukaku. Give me food. So why should we disobey that Allah, in whose hands the treasures lie, in whose hands the risk lies? Allah. He can tighten the screw any time he wishes. And we have seen it happening all around the world. What makes us so complacent that nothing can happen here? And as it is, we are seeing the amount of fear that is being generated in our hearts now, all around us, whatever is happening, how much of fear there is. Even to go for Fajr Salat, it is becoming difficult for so many people. They say it is so frightening to open our doors and come outside. So much of fear has settled in those hearts. When the people were not leaving their homes and going to the masjids, at a time when there was no fear, so they were showing ingratitude to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for that amn o aman, the security that was prevailing. So because they made kufran a ni'mat, there were thousands of Muslims, and even up till today there are thousands of them, or millions of them, where there is no fear, they can come out and go to the masjid, but they won't go. So then when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts this fear, then they say, we would like to go to the masjid, but there's plenty of fear now. People who live very close to the masjids, they will not frequent the masjids. I'm talking general terms. There are so many places where if you have to go for Fajr Salat, you will still find 5 people and 6 people. And I'm not talking about places where the message hasn't reached. I'm talking about places where big ijtimas took place. 30,000 people had gathered. But go and read Fajr Namaz Day in winter month. And in that town you will find 8 people for Fajr. Where they were at one time 10, it came down to 8. That is our condition. But when there is an attack on the masjid, Babri Masjid was attacked, then the whole world say, our masjid, our masjid. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sometimes uses those people who have got no esteem in His sight. They are kuffar and mushrikeen. But Allah ta'ala puts them over us to give us a little bit of taste of our doings, so that we get up from our sleep and our slumber. So this is what I'm trying to express to you, that pick up some himmat and some courage and some strength. I get criticized so much, but what does it matter? What does it matter? They will call you orthodox, they will call you old-fashioned, they will call you living in the camel's age, and they will call you all kinds of names. But what does it matter? At the most, they will criticize you that you were not there and you are acting very holy and you are like this and like that. That's all. They won't throw stones. We haven't heard of anyone throwing stones because we didn't attend. But our nafs is also desirous to see what is happening. Let us be part of parcel of that enjoyment, that fun, that entertainment. So what happens is that the organizers feel quite happy that no matter what these people say and talk, but you will find them there. So you, next time they will organize one better than that. But if large number of people say that we are not going to attend, if you don't have separate facility, we are not going to attend. If you have music there, we are not going to attend. If you're going to have videoing and movies there, we are not going to attend. So if a large number of people are going to do this, then those organizers, then they will be forced. Then they will be forced to change that environment. But if we are quite happy and after that we enjoy the biryani there and the 7-course meal there, then they will say, ye to sirf baatein hai. When it comes to talk, then they are number one in the first saf. And when it comes to action, then you don't find them practicing. That is our condition. And this is the reason why so many ulama also, unfortunately, cannot speak about these things. Because when you are going to be on the stage where there's music taking place and there's all kinds of haram, then how are you going to speak out against it? So it is for our own good. We must not worry about the others, at least if we make up our minds that we want to change. And we will take the himmat and the courage, that can be anybody, but nicely, politely we convey the message. We don't take a whole brick and throw it at his head. We look at our weakness also. This one department we may be a little strong, so that doesn't mean that we have become 100% perfect in every department. So we look at our weakness also, our shortcomings also, and we say that I'm a little weak. And if I come there, then I will get caught up. My nafs very quickly hits back and stings and bites and gets life. And I was a person that went through all these evils. I used to enjoy music, I used to enjoy movies, and I used to enjoy this and that. But I made tawbah and I came out of it. I don't want to go back into it. Tell them nicely and stay away. At the most, after that, they will criticize. That's about all. And alhamdulillah, lots of people are now taking the courage. Allah Ta'ala gives them himmat, more himmat. It will bring peace in our own lives. So this is what Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is saying. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai, kehte hai ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. Hadiths are being quoted in such kind of filthy environment. Everything haram takes place and we say, sunnat of Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then where is the farz gone then? It was first to abstain that we forgot from the haram. But we remembered that one part only, an-nikahu min sunnati. So is this the way of sunnat? Are these type of nikah sunnat?
Duniya gale ka haar hai, deen nazar mein khaar hai. Duniya gale ka haar hai, deen nazar mein khaar hai. Yehi agar bahar hai, aag lage bahar mein.
Dunya gale ka haar hai. The necklace now around our neck is dunya. We are trying to get name and fame. But that name and fame is of such a kind that when the bank starts tightening the noose because of the interest that had to be paid on those loans that were taken to organize such lavish weddings, and when the properties are going, then at that time that person must stand up and say, I've got a very good name, I invited 2,000 people and I fed them a 7-course meal. You're not even giving consideration to my name. So will you, any bank recognize that name? So what we have bought in return? Nothing. But if we bought the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, those same family members will one day respect and honor. And in fact, in the deep bottom of their hearts, they will have this thought that what that person did is the right thing. They may not say, they will say something else with their tongues. But deep down, they too understand that what we have done is wrong. It's not that they don't understand. They've got some iman and Islam. So they will then respect this person, that this person had the himmat and the courage to face the opposition, to go against the tide. When we are going to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will put the love into their hearts. And when we are going to look for their love and their respect and their honor and them honoring us in haram ways, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will put hatred into their hearts for us. When Allah ta'ala's nazar of inayat turns away, brothers, believe me, in this masjid I can take billion qasams and say that when Allah's nazar of rahmat turns away from a person, don't play with the rahmat of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is very merciful, very forgiving, very kind, very compassionate. But he says that inna rahmat Allah qareebun min al-muhsinin. It is close to the muhsinin, the doers of good. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, walam yusirru ala ma fa'alu. Allah doesn't want us to be obstinate. Allah ta'ala does not want us to just go on and on committing sins without any concern. One is the person committed a sin, he made plenty of tawbah, again he was tempted and committed a sin again. Then I've told you many times that as human beings, if the person commits a sin 100 times too, if he made 100 times accident, but it was an accident, then we will say that he's not to be blamed. Or at least the person, when he keeps taking his car after such kind of accidents, then the person will say, well, it was an accident. Because there was a 7-car pileup and the person went and he also got caught up in that pileup. So we'll say it was an accident. The next day he got his car fixed up and he was driving again. One bus came and hit into him, one drunken driver. So we'll say again it was an accident. The third day again he was driving, there was a tire puncture and it somersaulted. So third day he had to take his car again. Allah Ta'ala protect us. But we'll say that like this kind of accident 100 times too if he make, we'll say that it was an accident. But that person who, because he had a tire puncture, so now he puts one nail in the tire and drives, then we'll say that that is not accident. If it's accidental, then make plenty of tawbah, because this will carry on. This fight between the nafs and the person, it will go on. Unse kushti to hai umr bhar ki, kabhi tu dabale, kabhi wo dabale. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bhar bhi, baharhal koshish to aashik na chode. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bhar bhi, baharhal koshish to aashik na chode. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe, ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe, جو سو بار ٹوٹے تو سو بار جوڑے. This rishta of muhabbat with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we have to keep it. Where are we going to go if Allah ta'ala turns away his glance of rahmat from us? Nigahe aqreba badli mizaj dostan badla. Mizaje aqreba badli, mizaje aqreba badli, mizaje dostan badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala turns away his glance of rahmat, then after that there is nobody for us. So Allah ta'ala loves us. He wants us to get peace, happiness, sukoon, comfort, joy. Internally all these things happen. Joy is a condition of the heart. Don't look at outside conditions of people. There are many billionaires and millionaires. If a person is a nek and a pious person and is a millionaire, alhamdulillah. If he's a nek and pious person and is a billionaire also, alhamdulillah. There's nothing wrong with that wealth. It's ni'mal mata. But that wealth which is taking us to the casinos, to the gambling dens, to the cinemas, to the theaters, to the prostitutes and to all kinds of filth, then this is a danger sign. This is a very dangerous sign. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. When they forgot those warnings that we had given to them, we opened the doors for them of all good. Everything started coming. Good health, plenty of wealth, properties, gold, silver, oil wells, private jets and planes and everything. Allah Ta'ala says we gave them everything. Hatta iza farihu bima utu. They became very happy with whatever we gave to them. Then Allah Ta'ala says, Hatta iza farihu bima utu, akhaznahum baghtatan fa iza hum mublisun. Then in the midst of their enjoyments, Allah Ta'ala says, suddenly we call them to account. They were seized suddenly. How many places in the late part of the night, suddenly the disaster strikes and everything disappears. Then they are thrown into bewilderment. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give us the tawfiq to understand that He wants us to enjoy the ni'mat that He is giving to us, but we will not be able to enjoy it if we are going to use it against His will and wish. These type of weddings and functions and all that are not going to bring peace and happiness. It's not going to bring any kind of joy and comfort. These type of marriages, generally, we are not talking about this particular one, but generally, they do not even last more than a year. Generally, because I'm dealing with cases, I know how many of them. That what do they have? Just after a month or two, and we find big arguments and quarrels and disputes and fights and divorces and everything taking place. Don't try to displease Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and then expect rahmat. It doesn't work like that. Light and darkness cannot reside in the same place at the same time. It's either light or it's darkness. Now there's light here, so there's no darkness. If it's darkness that side, there's no light. So we can't have two things at the same time. In our hearts, if we are going to have darkness, then it is going to affect every action of ours. And to bring light, Allah Ta'ala has not made life difficult. He is not like our governments of the world. Allah Ta'ala is so compassionate and so caring and loving that even if you have gone very far, but one sincere tawbah, if a kafir, mushrik, one kalima la ilaha illallah he reads, and Allah Ta'ala wipes away all his past. 100 years of kufr is wiped away. What kind of Allah that must be? So the Muslims, the believers, you think Allah Ta'ala is not going to accept their tawbah. But a little bit of himmat is required. Just a little himmat, that is all. And it just for a few days it is required. After that the person, as I said, it will become more difficult for the person to sin. It will become more difficult for him to sin. Then, the more easy for him to do good deeds than to commit sins. It will become very difficult to sin. The moment the person will think of sin, straight away Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will create a barrier between him and sins. And he will find himself restless and he'll stay away. ask so many people who were addicted at one time to all this music and TV and videos and movies and all that. Now ask them that when that music goes into the ear, is it soothing to the ears, which at one time was so soothing, the person couldn't do without it. But they say we get so irritated, that if we can help it, we would like to go and bash that person. And yet that was the life blood of this person a few years ago. So what is it? It's just a little bit of himmat the person took. It's just shaitan glorifies it, that you can't do without it, you can't do without it. There's no happiness without it, you'll get bored without it. So you must just look back a few years ago when these things were not there. How did the people live at that time? Engage in healthy exercises. There's lots of sports and entertainment which is of the halal kind. I'm not talking about all these professional things. I'm talking about halal kind of sports for the individual. Allah Ta'ala has kept so much. Then with the family to picnic in a nice area where there is, say, a little bit of seclusion, where there is with the person with his, got time now with his family, with his children. And there are so many other things that he can engage in of the halal kind. Then what is the need to go towards haram? And that person who says that I'm in this world for a purpose, that it is my object of life, that I must occupy my spare time in the service to the deen of Allah Ta'ala and to his creation, then that person won't find time. There's no time after that for that person. I will just read the balance, inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives me life and brings me back safely from Karachi. I'm leaving, inshallah, on Wednesday. If I return safely with body and soul again, then inshallah, we will continue within another fortnight's time, inshallah. I'm just going for about a week. Make dua that Allah Ta'ala spiritually charge my battery also. As I say always, that just that little while also in the sohbat of the pious and the righteous ones, it is so valuable and so precious. We just don't know which moment the tajalli of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala could be just cast on the heart of this person that is sitting in such a gathering. The sohbat of the Ahlullah is so important. Sohbat-e salih tura, salih kunat, sohbat-e talih tura, talih kunat. Yak saat sohbat ba awliya, behtara sat sala ta'at beriya. 100 years of ibadat without riya, nafil ibadat. It's better a little while in the sohbat of some Ahlullah. Why? Because all the time there's rahmat of Allah Ta'ala that's descending upon that Allah wala. And we do not know which moment that rahmat Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala would just transfer. It's a spark that lights up the heart of the person that is sitting there, but we don't know which moment. It could be any majlis that it just lights it up. So this person will then find that noor in his heart, he'll find sukoon, he'll find easy to make ibadat, zikr, tilawat and stay away from haram. Therefore it is so important. So this is why we go to them. People don't understand these things. If you tell them to go for a football or a cricket match overseas, then that is acceptable. If there is some show in some foreign country and the person is going for the show, then that we say that, well, it's something acceptable. But if somebody says that I'm going for a few days for my islah of the nafs, then this, in these times you're talking about islah of nafs, doesn't make sense. Don't they have anything better to do? Kahan tak zabt betabi, kahan tak paas badnami. Kahan tak zabt betabi, kahan tak paas badnami. Kaleja thamlo yaro, hum faryad karte hain. How long are we going to keep this thing suppressed? Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kehte hain ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. Duniya gale ka haar hai, deen nazar mein khaar hai. Duniya gale ka haar hai, deen nazar mein khaar hai. Yehi agar bahar hai, aag lage bahar mein. Jo hai wo madda parast, band-e-zar hawa parast. Jo hai wo madda parast, band-e-zar hawa parast. Reh gaye kam khuda parast, ek hai ab hazar mein. Reh gaye kam khuda parast, ek hai ab hazar mein. Rooh jo rash ke tur thi, pehlu mein goya hoor thi. रूह जो रश के तूर थी पहलू में गोया हूर थी, या तो वो गर्क नूर थी या निहा गुबार में। दौरे अमल फसाना है हम है अब और खाना है, कसल का क्या ठिकाना है घर में है या मजार में। होश में आओ भाइयों ऐसी न जिंदगी जियो, होश में आओ भाइयों ऐसी न जिंदगी जियो, बादए सरमदी पियो आब न रहो अब न रहो खुमार में। बादए सरमदी पियो अब न रहो खुमार में। He says drink that wine which will give you life, which will give you that kind of intoxication which the kings even don't know of. Permanent intoxication, hamesha ki khushi, aisi sharab piyo, Allah Taala ki muhabbat ki sharab. Ye duniya ki sharab aur nashe mein kya rakha hai. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اے اللہ جو کچھ کہا سنا سب کو قبول فرما، اے اللہ ہم سب کو ہدایت تامہ کامل عطا فرما، ہم سب کو صحت عافیت سلامتی عطا فرما، اے اللہ ہمیں ایمان کے اوپر استقامت نصیب فرما، اے اللہ فتنے کے دور میں ہم رہے گزر رہے ہیں، فتنے کے دور سے گزر رہے ہیں، ہر قسم کے فتنے سے حفاظت فرما، اے اللہ protect us from the fitnas which are lashing at us from all sides, fitnas from in behind us, from in front of us, from our left, from our right, from above us. Oh Allah, who can we turn to besides you? There is no one for us besides you. Oh Allah, if you turn away your nazar of rahmat from us, then who can we turn towards? Oh Allah, then we will be destroyed. There will be nothing we will face except misery in our lives. Oh Allah, we want peace, we want happiness, we want joy, we want sukoon. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with the best. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with taqwa, with zuhud, with shukr, with sabr. Clear our hearts of pride, of arrogance, of jealousy, of envy, of malice, of greed, of evil lust and passions. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Wa fil akhirati hasana. وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الدين ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله